Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. We also have a divine service on Wednesdays at 1:30. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Verneil Schuchard in loving memory of Harold.
And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I know that you know this passage, because this has got to be, at the very least, top five most Lutheran Bible passages of all time. I know that all of you have heard this before. You'll hear it many times again. I'm suspicious that some of you out there probably have some portion of this as your confirmation verse. I think I even saw a nodder out there acknowledging my blind guess right there was right. And familiar verses and passages like this are worth reflecting on and remembering and hearing again and again, because I said at the beginning, they are so good. They're so sweet and wonderful. There's a reason that we hear them all the time. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And I don't know if you noticed this when you heard it again this morning, or if you hear it every time you hear this passage. But this Bible passage, believe it or not, for how beautiful it is, begins with a bunch of corpses, a bunch of dead bodies. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That's actually a little bit strange. Dead people walking. It sounds actually like St. Paul might be talking about zombies, maybe? Might be reading too much into this. But he seems to be talking about the walking dead. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. These walking corpses wander around more or less aimlessly, guided only by their own desires, doing only what seems best to them, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Walking dead corpses follow the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil himself. They wander around doing what he would have them do. That is, following only their own passions. I don't think only, about like strong emotions here, but following whatever your body or your mind tells you to do. Led around by your own belly, or your own reason, or your own intuition. Whatever seems best to you, you do. Which leads, of course, to chaos and a bunch of people wandering around, as I said before, aimlessly, unguided by anything good or right or true. And these walking dead, these human corpses, deserve, or as our hymn said, merit, or earn, however you want to say it, only God's wrath. And we're by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So this first third or so of our passage is actually really pretty bleak. It's not precisely good news. It's not something we would want to hear. Except for one, you know, relatively fine grammatical detail that I'm wondering if you noticed. What tense are most of the sentences in this first part written in? Does St. Paul say, "And you are dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you are walking, as you go about following the course of this world, of the prince of the power of the air, the sons of disobedience, among whom you are all now living, as you live in the..." You get my point. No, he doesn't say that, does he? All of these things are written in the past tense. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked." The point being, you don't any longer. And why is that? It all hinges on the very big "but" that St. Paul has there for us in verse number 4. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." Brothers and sisters, the good news is this morning, you were dead. Even though you were walking around like a zombie, you were dead. But guess what? You have been and now are made alive by Christ. God, our Heavenly Father, has raised you from the dead with Christ himself, so that you are no longer a corpse. You are no longer led around by your own belly. But in fact, you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, guiding and leading you each and every day. By grace, you have been saved. And even more than that, our Lord has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, he has made you alive not because you deserve it. You were, again, dead. You were a corpse. You were deserving and earning of nothing. But because our God, our Lord, is so loving and so merciful and so gracious, he raised you up anyways. He has raised you up, and in fact, it says he has seated you in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Did you know that's where you were sitting? In the heavenly throne room with God himself, in a seat only for one who is a saint of God. And a seat reserved for you. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Our Lord has done this again, not because we somehow deserve it, but because he desires to pour out his love on his creation. Because he intends to shower you, let me get this straight, with immeasurable riches. Try and picture that for a second. Oh, wait, you can't, because it's immeasurable. That is, in fact, what our Lord is doing and will continue to do for you now and forever. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This is just to remind you, in case you're thinking that you somehow revivified yourself, resurrected yourself, you didn't. That's silly. Stop it. In case you think that you are allowed to boast about your new living state to anyone who happens still to be dead, you can't. You shouldn't. Stop it. Our Lord has given you new life because he loves his creation, because he loves you and desires for you to have eternal life. And why exactly did he do all of this? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our Lord desired for himself a people. He desired to rain innumerable blessings on his creation. So looking around and finding none, he raised a bunch of us from the dead. An incredible, amazing gift in and of itself. But then even more than that, he blessed us with giving us something to do now that we're alive. We don't just have to sit around and gaze at our navels. But in fact, he has gone over and above and blessed each and every one of you. And in case any of you are wondering, yes, I mean you, with a God-given calling. He has prepared a unique and special path that you may walk. A path that only you can walk, that only you have been called to. He has placed people around you that he has not placed around anyone else. He has given people into your care that he has not entrusted to anyone else. He has given work for you to do that can be done by no one else. Because through you, he intends to show love to his entire creation. Brothers and sisters, this means that all the work that you do each and every day is God's work. That means I don't care what work you do. I don't care whether it's seen as important or lowly. I don't care if you teach or you learn. I don't care if you make things or if you destroy things. I don't care if you, like I used to do, clean a bunch of toilets. I don't care if you collect garbage. I don't care if you, like I still do, change diapers. I don't care if you get paid a lot or a little. The work that is before you is God's work that he has called and, in fact, prepared beforehand that you should walk in it. And that is a great, incredible blessing, that the work you do, that the effort that you put in has been made for you. It is not meaningless. It is not pointless. It is not trivial. But through you, our Lord is raining his immeasurable blessings on his whole creation. Brothers and sisters, our God is gracious and merciful. He is loving and caring. He has provided for each and every one of us, calling us from death to life, raising us to eternal life, seating us with Christ in the heavenly places, raining upon us innumerable, immeasurable blessings, giving to us callings and vocations and meaning and power in our lives. My prayer for you this morning is that this passage would continue to strengthen and encourage you today and always. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2183. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.